He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, Two for Tuesday, January 9th, the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and we're giving up some of those gains from yesterday. The Dow right now is down 295, okay? The Dow's sitting at 37,387. It's still overbought, and it's still overpriced, and I think it still needs to correct some more, even though the first three or four days of the year were pretty down. We had a huge day yesterday, which we'll talk about here in a minute. The NASDAQ's down about 98 right now, but it's up 300 yesterday, let's not forget. Easy come, easy go, 14,746 on the NASDAQ. The S&P is down 29 right now to 4734. Small caps getting hit the worst. They're down 1.6%. Crude oil is up 84 cents to 71.61 after a big drop yesterday. Gold is up $7 to 2,040. The 10-year is now flat. At 4, right at 4%. How do you like that? And you've got Bitcoin, which is getting all excited about the coming ETFs, hopefully this week, or approval for ETFs, spot ETFs. Bitcoin is up 1,800 to 46,521. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite. We had a huge day in the market yesterday, okay? Before we move on to today, let's bask in the warmth of yesterday. The Dow was up 217 yesterday, despite that big news coming out of Boeing, which is pretty bad, okay? We're going to talk about that also. I don't think this is something that's just going to come and go. I don't think it's a one-off. They're going to have to go through all of those planes and check them. And they're finding loose bolts here and there.
Loose bolts everywhere.
It's going to make me wonder every time I get on a plane from now on. The Dow, it was up 217 yesterday. The NASDAQ just took off. It had a melt-up. We call that a melt-up. We had a huge day yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 320 yesterday. And, you know, really the only thing I can point to was the news out of NVIDIA and working around the China restrictions, coming up with the chip that works around that and going into full production with that chip. And that seemed to ignite the entire tech sector yesterday. I couldn't really find any other catalyst other than that. Now, here's the downside of that big move upward yesterday. The S&P was up yesterday some 66 points, but that pushes the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 to 20.7, and, you know, we've been up around 21 now here for the last 8 weeks or so, and I still feel strongly that that's too high, that it needs to come down some. So we did have that big melt-up yesterday, but the forward P.E. goes up to, I don't think, a sustainable level. We're seeing a bit of a sell-off here today. Now, one of the big issues is Boeing. Let's see how Boeing is doing today. Boeing is only down 1.4%, but it got hit pretty hard yesterday. They just got through all the issues with the 737. And now here we've got another big problem that's not going to go away anytime soon. It's going to, take a while to go through. And it just makes you wonder what other bolts are loose. It's a little spooky to see the picture. I don't know if you've seen it, but they found that panel that came off. It was really basically intact. in someone's backyard.
Did it end up in someone's backyard?
Yeah,
you
someone's
joked about
backyard.
It yesterday.
Yeah,
I felt like the chances of ending up in someone's backyard were slim, but that's scary to me.
And apparently, it was missing four bolts. Now the bolts may have fallen off, you know, in the descent, but it doesn't look like it. And so now they've got to go through all those panels on those planes and check, and they're already finding.
I saw some finding loose bolts. I saw something where one was missing a washer. I mean, it's one thing if you and I are putting it together, right, Bill? If we've got some furniture from IKEA that we leave a washer off or we don't tighten one bolt, but it's a pretty serious issue when it comes to aviation.
Yeah, I put together a fire pit on Saturday, Sunday to have a little weenie bake there and. There was a few parts left over when I got done. Who's counting? A few washers and a few nuts. I don't know. I missed them somewhere. But when you're talking an airplane at 30,000 feet going 600 miles an hour, that's a whole different story. And I think I'll drive for the next couple of months here everywhere, take the train, But that's, it's just not good. I mean, where's the quality control? Who's giving those things the final inspection? And this apparently was a pretty recent model that had been delivered last year. And, I thought maybe I was hoping that it would be kind of a small issue, maybe a one-off that was explainable. But it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's more like a systemic problem in the production line there.
Well, and I saw where the CEO, CEO's comment was, they need to improve their quality control. And it's like, that's a pretty broad-based, statement. I don't know. That's why it's just kind of ominous because we mentioned, Boeing towards the end of last week and we actually, talked about the, potential headline risk of, of Boeing because it only takes one incident, right? And something like this, can happen.
So. Yep. Well, the trade deficit came in a little bit lighter than expected. And I think that still reflects the weakness in China because China is not exporting. I've just noticed the last several times I've crossed our Ravenel Bridge here, we can see we have two ports, one on the Cooper River, one on the Wando River, and there's usually four freighters at each one, fully loaded container ships. I haven't been seeing that lately. I've been seeing one or two. And, that weakness in China is very troublesome for me. I think their economy is a lot weaker than expected, and it may cause China to do something. I don't know, like invading Taiwan. Who knows? But anyways,
it could lead to revolt. Either way,
internal revolt. But their economy is not doing good. United Airlines finds loose bolts in Boeing 737 MAX planes. Okay, they had. The Federal Aviation has ordered the inspections after a metal door plug flew off on Alaska Airlines soon after takeoff on Friday. United Airlines so far has uncovered problems with the installation on several panels that were being inspected following the accident. The discovery raises more questions about the quality controls for the 737 MAX 9. One of several versions of the Boeing-made jetliner. And United says, since we began preliminary inspections on Saturday, we have found instances that appear to relate to installation issues in the door plug. For example, bolts that needed additional tightening. Yeah, you don't want a hand-tightened bolt, which, sometimes I hand-tighten. That's good enough, but not in this. These findings will be remedied by our technical operations team to safely return. Are they going to have to check every bolt on the entire airplane?
Yeah, I guess you're going to have to, as a passenger, you're going to show up with your DeWalt hammer drill, right? Just to, double check everything for you.
Yeah, and a little ratchet kit, in case you tighten some. I don't know. This is not a
hopefully
good thing.
It's easier than changing your tire
on an electric car. That thing weighs about a ton. I needed a floor jack to get that thing up. Anyways, you know, in the Seeking Alpha today, there's a picture. There's a picture of the installation of these door plugs and where the issue actually was. So that's always fun to look at. And the other airline, I also saw that Delta is also finding issues. But, okay, so how do you handle a situation like this? Well, Baird, a big firm out there, a research and money management firm, is saying we should be buying Boeing, Howmet, and Spirit Airlines on the weakness after the 737 MAX groundings. Yeah, you know, I think I'll wait a while and see and make sure. We've been saying that Boeing was an expensive stock before this happened. And it hasn't gone down that much. Why would I buy it now? Anyways, when we come back, we got a lot of tech stocks to talk about today. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market's improved a little bit. The Dow was down 300. Now it's down just 232. And the NASDAQ was down about 100. Now it's down just 59 points. So a little bit of improvement there since the opening bell. Now, there is another big issue. Well, let's get to the tech stocks here first. Okay, you've got Bank of Montreal is initiating coverage, Barry, on 25 internet and technology stocks, including Amazon, Meta Platforms, Alphabet, Google. Well, welcome to the party, BMO. Isn't that Bank of Montreal up there a little?
Yeah. It's surprising they didn't have coverage there already. I guess I don't know if I would announce that I was adding coverage to those.
Yes,
names.
They're initiating coverage, but they are picking on a theme in 2024 that is not an uncommon theme. We've heard it many times. Artificial intelligence. And, you know, there's a lot of unsolved issues with artificial intelligence. And there's some interesting stories here today. Today you've got a guy claiming that that Google stole his patent related to AI technology. This guy's name is, I think it's Bates. His last name is Bates. Joseph Bates. He formed a company called Singular Computing, founded in Massachusetts, and he alleges that Google copied his technology and used it to support the company's AI features in Google Search, Gmail, Google Translate, and other Google services. He says he'll go away if they write him a check for $7 billion. He is requesting $7 billion in monetary damage. You know,
I'll take two.
I once wrote down the formula for AI on a napkin. I'll go away, you know, for $1 million, which more than doubled the largest ever patent infringement award in the U.S. history. Now, you know, I actually knew some guys when I was in San Diego, which I spent most of my life in San Diego. And way back when, you know, when the computer and storage was a big issue in the early days, a huge issue. One of the biggest winners I ever found in the market was iOmega, which, I mean, that technology is way past. I still have my iOmega somewhere in the house somewhere, probably in storage or something. But, you know, storage was a big issue, and I had some friends that came up with a solution, and the name of their company was Stack Electronics, and they stacked the storage on top of one another to make it more efficient. Well, you know, Microsoft used some similar technology for their storage, and Stack filed a patent lawsuit against Microsoft. It was kind of like David versus Goliath. I mean, who's gonna win in court against a gigantic company like Microsoft? Well, they won, and they got a pretty sizable award in court in the early days of the computer. And I think you're going to probably see a lot of that in AI here. We've also had a case where somebody invented something using AI, went to get a patent. They said, oh, no, you can't get a patent for something that AI came up with, only something that a human being came up with. So there's that, okay? Now, the other one that is very interesting is the New York Times is suing also OpenAI, which is our friend, I can't think of his name right now, but the one that runs OpenAI. The New York Times claims that they patterned their writing, their journalism, after New York Times journalists. Well, okay, if I was going to pattern writing after journalists, I don't think I'd do it over after the New York Times journalists, but that's what they're claiming, and they're claiming copyright infringement lawsuit. And they're going to prove in court, the New York Times says, that the writing that OpenAI produces, they use the journalists at New York Times and their writing to model it after. So I'm sure they'll go away for a few billion dollars also. But this whole AI, it really does. It opens up a Pandora's box as it relates to patent infringement, you know, what's true, what's not true. Could get interesting. Netflix dips after city cuts rating on potential risk. Yeah, you know what? I'm just not a fan of Netflix. I was in the early days, obviously, one of the great stories of all time. It's a $200 billion story coming from a guy who got tired of having paying overtime fees on his videos that he rented, you know, and he came up with a mailing system where you could mail them back and forth. Yep. That eventually turned into Netflix.
I remember a stat one time where, you know, where I thought when I looked at Blockbuster, their earnings one time, I want to say like 35% at one point of their earnings, you know, of their revenue was late fees. And
yeah.
I was thinking, okay, if everyone turned in their videos on time, then essentially they'd have a 35%, you know, drop in revenue, which wouldn't be good for the company. So
I can remember.
I was always a little skeptical of what, you know, that business model every time.
So. I was, I can remember a few times making a 10 p.m. trip to Blockbuster to get that thing in the box, you know, so I wouldn't be charged another $3 or whatever it was. I have Netflix with 45% upside potential, okay? That's all I need to see. Of course, I'm, you know, pretty much know where all these stocks are at any given point in time. But, you know, Netflix was not one of the big winners. Yeah, it was. It was up 65% last year. But I think that most of the valuation has been squeezed out of the stock. I see 45% upside potential. I require 75 to 80% or more. And Netflix is currently ranked number 1,643 out of about 5,500. So that makes the decision very easy for me. In fact, I got a note on the chart here that somebody transferred it into us recently, and I sold it because I just don't feel like there's that much upside potential.
Yeah, and we still own a bond there, but you know,
we own the bond.
It's not the equity side. So
we made a lot of money on that Netflix bond.
<They've>,
we've had it for quite some
credit,
time.
Their credit has improved over time.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to default on their bonds. I think that was a pretty safe one. Okay, we've got the rumor mill out there today. Juniper Networks. Well, yesterday we talked about. Let's see. What's the network company we own that's ranked number one in the app right now?
Arista
Networks. And now Juniper has been kind of far behind the curve. Juniper at one time was a competitor to Cisco, and kind of a thorn in their side a little bit. But their growth rate lately has been 4%. And Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, they're looking to do anything
I was about to say, with 4% growth, no wonder Hewlett-Packard's interested in them.
Right? Hewlett-Packard's going to get into the networking business to try to juice their growth, which is about 2%. But I don't know that Juniper's going to do it. Juniper's up 21% today on that news. Okay, when we come back, I got a couple more software stocks to talk about, some food stocks, a couple of bank stocks, some short sales sellers out there. It's interesting. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, a couple of the leading sectors last year that really drove the market, you'd have to say that they're also a couple of the most overbought and overpriced sectors as we begin this year, and they did have a pretty big hefty sell-off last week. I think there's probably still some more air that needs to come out of that inflated balloon. Unity Software slashes 25% of the jobs that their firm globally, well, that's not very, their name is Unity. They're going to disunify 25% of their workforce. The stock is not affected that much. It's been a pretty good stock, $13.7 billion. But you know what? I would say that's where we're seeing the most layoffs right now, Barry, would be in the tech industry.
Yep, and they've been doing it for a while. They were kind of one of the first areas that really kind of, you know, began announcing it kind of almost around this time last year.
Yes, and software would be one of the vulnerable areas also of the market, so we'll keep our eye on that. Starbucks looks to rapidly expand in India with a joint venture partner. Well, you know what? Starbucks has not been a very good performer. It is not the double-digit grower that it once was. It's more
except
down.
Except their prices, maybe.
Yeah, the prices have certainly gone up, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a partaker there, but I'm sure it's not cheap. And I've got a note here on the chart that somebody recently transferred it in, and I sold it because I just don't like the stock. It's a mature stock. It's not like, you know, where else are you going to put a Starbucks when they're in the gas stations, airports, everywhere I go?
They got a unionization issue here in the U.S.
Supermarkets. Yeah. So anyways, their next trick is to go to India and run like heck over there expanding. The banks will report this Friday. J.P. Morgan upgraded to a buy. I just don't see it. You know, I just don't see the banks as being good buys right now. The only thing I can say about them is their low P.E. ratios, okay? But here's the deal. When I do a valuation on J.P. Morgan, looking out 5 years, okay, I begin with their earnings estimates for next year and what the growth rate's expected to be. They're a single-digit grower. They're not a 25% grower. They're not a 15% grower. They're a single-digit grower. I come up with 5-year upside potential, 36%. That's very subpar. That's terrible. But that's Wells Fargo, or no, that's Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank upgrading to a buy. So, you know, look, every one of these big wirehouse firms and houses, financial houses, major ones around the world, they have a different way of looking at stocks. And I just couldn't disagree more with upgrading J.P. Morgan to a buy because of the valuation concerns here. Now, it's always fun to see these short sellers go after stocks. There's a big one here today, GRFS. Oh, man, it's down 25% today. It's a Spanish manufacturer of plasma derivatives. It trades on the NASDAQ, GRFS. Well, there's a very well-known short seller, Gotham City, that is pretty reliable, and they say that Grifols has been cooking the books. They're not listing their true debt ratio. the Barcelona-based firm is reporting their debt ratio 6-to-1 when Gotham City says it should be closer to 10-to-13-to-1. So we'll see who's right. Is it the short seller? Is it the GRFS Grifols? Well, right now the market is got the stock down 25%. Now, I've owned stocks over the years where one of these short sellers comes in and it attacks it, and it almost immediately goes down. You know, shoot first and aim later. But anyways, the short sellers can really move a stock in a big way, even if it's just innuendo. Remember Hindenburg Research? They eventually got kicked off of Seeking Alpha. I guess Seeking Alpha just didn't like their methodology.
And they probably didn't. Yeah, they're probably more on the kind of think of the Vanguard style in terms of long only instead of talking against companies, particularly straight short seller.
And as I look at the top 10 shorted stocks right now in the market, you can see why. Okay, number 2 is Fisker. What are the chances of Fisker ever being profitable? You know, a startup, this is the second time they've come to the market with electric vehicles. There's 42% short interest in Fisker. So obviously, anytime you get a little bit of good news in Fisker, the short covers scramble. The number 3 shorted stock, Beyond Meat, 42% short interest. There's just not a lot of profit in ground-up pea proteins. And, you know, people aren't willing to pay the price either. I mean, Beyond Meat, it's not inexpensive. And it just never has really taken hold. You know, McDonald's tried it out. I think Burger King still has the Impossible Burger. But as far as the other big burger chains, so that's another one. Plug Power with their hydrogen fuel cells, it's 29%. Blink Charging, who's hoping to get just a little bit of share of the EV charging business, that's another one. And there's several solar stocks that are heavily shorted right now. Okay, the state of the bond market, I've seen a few. You know, I forwarded you one yesterday or a couple days ago. Yeah. I said, this looks interesting. But look, you're not going to get 6% anymore and 6.5%. With the interest rates going down, you're more in the high fours right now. Maybe 5. Realty Income is pricing $1.25 billion in senior notes. You can get 4.75. 4.75. I'd rather own the stock at this level because that's about the dividend yield.
Yeah, I was going to say, owning the note there, you might as well own the stock. So
I think the stock has pretty good upside potential. Bread Financial is coming public with 9.75. Okay, now that's a red flag, all right? When you see 9.75, that means the bank said no, and they've got to go out to private individuals at a much higher rate, trying to get some people that say, wow, 9.75, that sounds really good. Landsea Homes buys Dallas-based Antares Homes. You know, that whole home building sector continues to be red hot. I sent out a tweet, I think, on Monday. The number one ETF right now is still NAIL, N-A-I-L, which is 3 times the home builders, believe it or not.
Yeah, that'll nail you. It could nail you both ways, right?
Oh, you could get nailed in that. But having said that, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth area is one of the hottest home building markets in the country. I follow a couple smaller home builders. In fact, we bought one recently in our emerging growth portfolio, and they're focused in some of the hottest markets, Dallas, Atlanta. I'm also following a low-priced home builder that builds in South Carolina. Believe it or not, I read this in the newspaper not too long ago, South Carolina had more people come to it than any other state in the union. More people moving into South Carolina, the number one state during 2023. So that's helped our home prices, Barry.
Well, at one point, I think, for a few years there, you know, going back, pre-COVID, I think in Mount Pleasant, I think you had, I think it was 100 people or 108 people or so were moving to Mount Pleasant every day. So it was, there was some, which essentially is, you know, if it's a nuclear family, it's 25 families. But
yeah. So it's, I mean, you can tell it by the traffic, obviously. And we got here fortunately before the boom happened. And I think that what accelerated the boom here was COVID, because while many states were locked down, especially on the eastern seaboard, Jersey, New York, et cetera, we had a big influx of people, Pennsylvania, during that period of time that came to, I guess, a freer state that let people live their lives and whatnot. I don't think our death rate was any more than New York during the COVID, but that was one of the reasons. And, of course, taxes have a lot to do with it. The weather has a lot to do with it. I'm sure the beaches, the fishing, the great restaurants. I sound like the tourist.
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce should pat you on the back right there.
Yes. So I am tracking, though. You know, there's a stock that showed up in my app. All of a sudden, it's a momentum stock. And I looked at it and I said, I had never heard of it before. And what do? They build homes in South Carolina. Well, if it ever reaches, all the criteria, you'll hear about it. But it's one on my watch list right now. Okay, when we come back, we'll look underneath the market. What happened? We had such a good day yesterday. Why are we getting a sell-off today? And who's causing it? Doggone it. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where there's not a lot of Best Stocks Now to crow about here today. AMD is having a pretty good day. Despite the NASDAQ being down, AMD is up 1.1% right now. And it was kind of one of the catalysts behind yesterday's big move in the NASDAQ. And I'm also seeing NVIDIA's up just a hair today. But, with the NASDAQ down about 100 points, 70 points or so, it's good to see a couple of the big winners from yesterday following through a little bit here today. Tesla, on the other hand, which has been struggling lately, Tesla is down 2.8%. I guess, you know, the biggest worry I have about Tesla is I have to use a multiple of 60 times. The PE is currently 67. So it's not that Tesla can't trade at that multiple, but that's the multiple it'll have to trade at to make it attractive. Of course, it's been growing over the last 5 years by 113% per year. Well, it's not going to do that going forward. The growth lately has been more, it's been sporadic. It's been as low as 9 in the most recent quarter, their growth. The quarter before that, it was 47%. They'll report earnings on the 24th in a couple of weeks. And there's been
the key man risk. I mean, it's no
Musk
different.
Musk is always doing weird things.
It's now no different than Warren Buffett and Buffett and say 20. I mean, we've been talking about for 20 years, right? What happens if something happens to Warren Buffett, for example? I used to see stats where they said that Berkshire would go down 20% years ago, but. Certainly, key person risk for Musk, whether it's him doing something odd or something happening to him.
Right? Well, there's some story out there that he's been talking about all the different drugs he takes. Is that
well? I mean, that's not new. I mean, I've seen that too. I mean, it was under my impression that everyone already knew that beforehand.
I guess as long as the earnings come in, nobody cares what he's taking and tweeting at 2 a.m.
Well, and the other thing is the amount of control that he has over, rockets, helping NASA. I mean, there's a lot of, he has a lot of, he has a lot of national security, duties, whether we all, see it that way or not. But, some of these rockets don't get sent off if it's not for, if it's not for Elon. So,
I look at the Dow today. There's really not much going one way or the other. Merck is the winner. Merck is one, the lowest PE stocks in the Dow. Merck's had a nice run here. I will say this about Merck. They're looking for record earnings this year, believe it or not. They had a terrible year in 2023. They only made $1.46 in earnings. This year they're looking for $8.51 is what the estimate was, what is what MarketSmith is showing here. But here's Merck's problem. They've been growing by 2% per year over the last 5 years. So, I mean, even if, what are they going to do over the next 5 years? Are they going to do any better than 3 or 4% unless they come up with some kind of a big hit here? But the stock has been moving up because low PE stocks like Merck are in favor versus high PE stocks. And it also has a big dividend yield of 2.6%, and it has a pretty healthy chart right now. It's the winner in the Dow today. It's up 1.7. It's good to see that Boeing's only down 1.6%. So the market is obviously not seeing this as something that they're not going to recover from anytime soon. Hopefully they get a handle on it rather quickly. The oil stock's not doing that well today. Again, they've been very dicey. Boy, that price of oil, biggest factor, demand. The demand for oil, and China seems to be the culprit there, is low. There's a few stocks. Hewlett-Packard, they don't like the idea of buying Juniper Networks. It's down 8.5% today, while Juniper is up 21%. Match.com is up 5.7%. There's, one of those big... they go in there and put in a new board and all this. Elliott Management took a big stake in Match.com. And then, of course, the energy stocks on the downside today. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to be looking for some opportunities today. I've got 665 B-plus or better ranked stocks to look at. That's way higher than normal. That's an indicator that the market is still overbought. I've got 348 A-plus momentum stocks. That's a very high number. And a lot of those momentum A-plus stocks are stocks that achieved that A-plus during the last couple of weeks of December. A lot of them are banks. And so it's going to fade. I mean, that number's going to drop rapidly. But there's some interesting ones in the mix there that I'll be looking at here today. So I've got about 1,000 charts to look at here. I put out the newsletter last week on Saturday. You can get 2 free weeks by going to our website at GundersonCapital.com. All of the new app, remodeled app, up and running. I'm hearing nothing but good coming from it. I think there was a little password issue that we're trying to get corrected. When you upgrade, you know, you go into the Apple Store, you've got the old app, you go to upgrade. Apparently, you put in your password. So we're going to rectify. I've got to figure out what that is. It's affected a few people. But other than that, man, that app is gorgeous. And it has a lot more capabilities than previously. And I use it. That's all I use for my research is those stocks that are coming up as B-plus or better, or the momentum stocks, A-plus or better on momentum, which does not take into account valuation. And again, to get 2 free weeks, go to GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, you know, I think you guys have been pretty busy. That's something, you know, I'm mostly involved in managing the money. And in the background, my crew is talking to new people that want to open accounts or move accounts from other brokerage firms to us. That's the busiest department in the firm right now, other than the money management, I guess. You give us a call at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment with us. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.